through the branches that we've got, you know, I'm just doing something to just you know, repetition is the mother of learning. How many know that repetition is the mother of learning? Yeah? You ever heard that? Repetition? So, you know, I just want to repeat some things, emphasize them, and usually with these grace messages, you'll find there are key Greek words which I would love you to understand. Now, I'm not going to go take you to 12. I'm going to try and finish court. I can pick it up next week. That's no problem. I'm at rest. All right, Hebrews 10:10. In fact, I think I need to just go back a bit. Romans 1:16 says this: I am not ashamed of the gospel, the euangelion, the message of the gospel of Christ, for it is God's power. Look at the word power, dunatos, from dunamis, means miracle-working power. When you come to Jesus, you are receiving a message that's reinforced by miraculous things. I'm just a recipient of it. I've waited, but I'm glad I did. You know, rather than just saying, oh, this is just too much and retiring. And now I know why he said, you know, you won't retire. He told me, I won't retire. He said, you won't retire, and I'll take you in good quality of health home at 92. So I'm looking forward to that. It's really exciting. I'm quite settled. Happy. All you happy? Good. Is God's power? It's God's power. Everyone say that. It's God's power. Miracle working power. If you look out there, you can see God's power, you know. We've got asteroid belts around here and someone sending up a rocket to gather dust. And mankind thinks, oh, how wonderful. But man, just have a look at space. There's no end to it. There's, you know, the whole earth is spinning around in these asteroid belts. You know, at any moment something could go wrong. But he holds it. He holds it. He holds us where we are. And we think we're smart, you know, but I'm telling you what, the God that made the world is the one who has a miracle ability. Miracle ability. Amen? So look to God for healings in this message. Can you say amen? Look to God for restoration, abundance. You see, when he made us, he made us to live abundantly, to do well. And when you look at, you know, people like Diane and I used to be in Teen Challenge, and where many drug addicts we worked with, and, you know, you see the scars of drugs on people's faces. You just see the terrible, you know, effect of not living in the life of Jesus Christ. No Zoe of God. And look, it says, working unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's God's power working unto salvation. In other words, the end product is this. Not end in terms of when we go to heaven. Soteria, it's like the word shalom, well-being. Everybody say, yeah, the end product that grace produces is well-being in my life. Come on. How people want to be being well? Well-being. How many want to being well? Be well. Be well. So this is really amazing. If we, you know, you see, if you believe in something wrong, don't expect to live right. If I believe that chair is going to bring me well-being, I can sit on it for a while and I'll feel happy, right? But after a while, I'll look out there and I'll say, no, I want to go out there. And the chair will say, no, you've got to sit here. That's not well-being. It's not my saviour. Okay? So if I believe wrong, I will live wrong. But if I believe right, and line up with this truth, I will live right. I will be right. Not only just righteous, you know, I become in Christ all that God requires a man to be. God actually made us to be healthy. Didn't he make us with beautiful organs in our body and everything else? He made us to be healthy. So we have a right to talk to him about these things. Look, you know, I used to think soteria was just for deliverance from eternal death. But actual fact, I found out when I studied, you know, and was principal of Bible school in Singapore, that soteria meant so much more than that. It literally meant well-being in every area of my life. And it says, working unto salvation, right, for deliverance from eternal death, that's in brackets, to not in the in the Greek, to everyone who believes. Believes what? Believes what? Believes the gospel. What's the word gospel? Good news. Good news for what? Well-being. Simple. Everyone who believes the gospel. See? Now, believe is more than, like, I would say, like, if I said to Anton, look, I believe in you. Come around and fix up my tree, lop off a few branches. And, you know, he's great at doing all these things. And, you know, and he doesn't turn up. So I ring him up. I say, "You coming?" He says, "Yeah, I'm coming. I'm coming. Just be a moment later." You know, and then half an hour goes by, and then a week goes by, and then I see him next Sunday. And he comes into church. This didn't happen, by the way. And he comes into church, and I say, "Hey, man, I believe in you. What happened?" "Oh, well, you know, I'll come next week." "Well, when will you come?" "Oh, okay. Okay, good. All right." And then he doesn't turn up. After a while, I will stop believing in him.
Yes. Hello? Right.
That's what's happened with a lot of Christians. Actually, they've got Christianity, but they're no longer believing for things, for well-being. But there is something we do here. We believe. Now, the verb believe is pisteio. It means it's an active thing we do. We believe. We talk to God about it. If we know that we hear, he's heard us, we have the petition. All right? And it's synonymous with rest. Rest is a quiet, childlike confidence in our daddy. Total trust, total reliance on him. Personal trust and confident surrender and firm reliance to the Jew first. Okay, Jesus came as a Jew. Okay, and then also this word Greek is actually means Gentile there. All right, let's go now in our notes and we're going to just have a look at a few things. Right, so right believing is really, really important. So there is an array of misinformation about the meaning of God's grace. Sure is. What does it mean to be a grace person or a grace church? Here are some characteristics. All right, here we go. Now, the first one here is the one in your notes, if you have a look at it, and it just says, the finished, completed work of Jesus. Now, Joseph read that, so we probably don't need to read that again. But there's some verses that I'm backing up with here, and Hebrews 10:10 says, and in accordance with this will of God, we who believe in the message of salvation have been, everyone say have been. Have been is what? Past tense, present or future? Have been. We are now because we have been. I have been to London. Pussycat, what did you there? I went up to London to visit the Queen or something like that. What did you there? Yeah, I frightened a little mouse under the chair. Right, we have been sanctified. That means set apart as holy for God. Now, do you believe God's word? That's why we are a believing church, because the Bible is God's word. It's a divinely inspired word, theonoustos, sent by the Holy Spirit to us through prophets, through others who wrote them. Divinely inspired they were. And it says this, in accordance with this will of God, we who believe in the message of salvation have been sanctified, set apart as holy for God and his purposes through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the once for what? All and for all time. For all time and for all people. It's amazing. That's why, you know, we should expect churches to be abundant and grow. I think in our city, I've come to this, if we only have 1% of the population or 2% and the rest out there, but actually Jesus loves and died for everyone, for all. And he's not willing that one should perish. So, you know, I have a different understanding of coziness. I'm cozy when God's cozy. You know what I mean? I feel, not because I'm the pastor. If you put me out there on the railway station, you know, I'll feel the same thing if I'm not a pastor, or, you know, if I'm just directing the lights off for the trains or whatever. I'll feel the same thing as I feel now, because I've come to understand that God is not willing that anyone should miss out. Isn't that great? Look at that. For by the one offering he has perfected. And it's in the perfect tense, means completely finished, accomplished forever, and completely cleansed. I was saying this in Narangba on Friday. A lady called Margaret, her name can stay there. She's Woman's Aglow. And she came to me afterwards, and she was just crying a little bit. She's a lovely lady, about in her mid-70s. And she said, "Percy, when you read that word, completely cleansed, I've never, ever known, I've been a Christian 40 years, so I've never known that I was completely cleansed." Completely cleansed. Those who are set apart and made holy. Who has been set apart and made holy? Who has been? Who has been? Sam, have you been? Okay, don't forget, put your hand up then. If you have been, I might think you're asleep. Here we go, here we go. And I know that some people rushing in from work. Look at this. Look, for if by the trespass of the one, Adam, death reigned through that one, much more surely, everyone say surely, will those who receive the abundance of grace. What abundance of grace? The cross abundance. At the cross, it was an abundant outpouring of grace. And the free gift of righteousness reign in life. So I always knew that one day God would come through for my healing. But I was getting tired of waiting. Come on, Lorraine, you with me on that? Yeah. You know, I always knew that God would come through. And finally he has. I just love it. I love it to be a recipient of this abundance of grace and the free gift of reign in life. So I say to those of you that are older, you know, and you say, "Oh, well, I know I've got the pension and I'm heading home," and, you know, and if you watch the TV in the daytime, you know, even on Sky News now and everything else, all of a sudden there's people saying, "Just put $5,000 here for your funeral. Don't need your relatives." And they have all these ads now for the older people. Make sure you're secure and all this.
Yeah, yeah.
I say, rubbish. Rubbish to you. You're praying on the fear that people are going to go home soon. Listen, God has appointed us for long life and length of days in the Abrahamic covenant. So hook in there, guys. Hook in, let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. All right, now we'll move on, and I think we'll go on to another one here. Romans 5:17. Let's go to number two. Oh, I'll leave that. I want to go to the rest one. I want to go to rest, and I'm going to close on this rest. All right. Would you look down with me, please, to number six, I think it is. Six. Number six on your... Number six. I think it's number six if you read it. I think it's number six. Do you see it there? Do you see number six? And what are the verses there? All right, let's go to that then. Okay, let's go to that. Now, this rest is a very beautiful thing, because what grace does, if received, takes the angst out of your life, the anxiety and the frustration. Rest. Rest in his ability. And what I've found in this church, you know, this church is an amazing church. I think it's the only church that I know of, and I know a lot of churches, and I've been a lot of pastors' conference, where the money coming in from people that don't go to this church actually just about exceeds the money of the people giving in this church. That is amazing. There's a whole lot of people out there that can't come to the church, but have decided to give. During the week, last week, there was over 4,000 given by people that don't go to the church. Now, this is amazing. I can't wait to get to the bank to see. And I say to the lady, well, what's in there? And she says, there's been about another 3,900 this week. She said, come in. And she says, Percy, the church is so good, you know. And I said, of course God is good, you know. And she says, yes, he is, yes, he is. I don't think she believes it, but they like our money. But they don't charge us fees, which is good. Westpac, they don't charge fees for registered charities. But, you know, all I know is the more I rest as a senior pastor, the more blessed you are. The more blessed. And finally, when maybe I came to rest, then God said, you're ready for the grace, my grace. It's an amazing thing, but God is a jealous God. He does not want to share his glory with others. He wants to reveal his glory, but he doesn't share the ownership with others. It says he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So it says, in all your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. Somehow or other, God wants to live with us and be involved in our lives. Amen. He doesn't want us to be arrogant and shut him out and say, well, we did it. We did it. You know? Now, Joseph Prince said an amazing thing on a tape I heard last year sometime, and we were doing Genesis chapter 1. He was just, I think he was talking to leadership or something. It might have been last term. I don't know when. I think it was last year. But he said, when he made the world, he did it in 6 days, and on the seventh, he rested. You all agree? He rested. Now, that's the first mention of the word rest, and he called it a Sabbath, because Sabbath means to rest, okay, to desist from hard labor and, you know, the work. And the sweat of your brow. And then he said, and he hallowed it. It's Genesis chapter 2, verse 3 or 4 or somewhere. And he set it apart and made it a holy day. Now, we have rest on holy days. That's where we get this idea from. Okay. But the first time rest is mentioned, God said it was a holy day. A holy day. Day, the Sabbath, right? So then Joseph said this, and you know, when you sometimes get, Jude was saying, get a revelation. And he said, see, the most holy thing you can do in your Christian life is to rest. The most holy thing. Now, that goes counterproductive to Chinese culture. I love Chinese, and I've worked with Chinese, and I love it. I feel very honored and favored, and they're blessed, Diane and I, haven't they, Diane? Blessed us with homes and cars and boats, and just blessed us and blessed us. You can't outgive the Chinese people. They are amazing people. And, you know, I just say this without trying to be, you know, applauding one particular group of people than another. But we were missionaries amongst them, and we were recipients of God's grace through them. But the Chinese have a good work ethic, right? You must work hard, and, you know, and it becomes so bad in Singapore that little kids are being dragged into lifts, and you get into the lift, and the kid's crying, and the kid's all, you know, like Sophie's age, one or two. And I say, oh, hello, good morning, where are you going? To my neighbor, you know, Chinese. I say, where are you going? I lived there 14 years. Where are you going? Where are you going? And I say, oh, we're taking them to a music lesson. Oh, you're going to music lesson? Yes, yes. Yes, and it's the examination today. Examination, you know. And so all of a sudden, this kid gets brought up in a family sometimes where they have no time to be children. And the parents are living out this great desire to excel. You see? Is it true? Yeah, it's called kiasu, you know. And kiasu means you walk over top of each other, right? I'm not meaning to offend you, Jacqueline, or anything like that. I love Singapore. You know, I call Singapore home. But I know in Hong Kong, when I went to Hong Kong, the same feeling. You know, just like, it's like we would call it a rat race. And many escape to Australia and go, let's be like the Aussies. But it's hard for them to be like the Aussies. Because this is thousands of years of culture. Okay. But, you know, Jesus has won our rest. And in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, there remaineth now. Look at this. Look at this. This is so good. Look. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set, so that we would walk in them, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us. Now I want to go to this. So then, Hebrews 4:9, everyone say, so then. There is still a waiting. He's writing to the Hebrews, right? The Jews, the diaspora or whatever, you know, the people that actually received Christ, they were Christians, Jews, but scattered through persecution. There is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest. Now, this is not making us Seventh-day Adventists. This is not Seventh-day. In fact, the Seventh-day Adventists really miss this. That's a big stumbling block with the Seventh-day Adventist people, is that they say we must keep the Sabbath holy. It was a picture of what Christ would do for us. Oh, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Please, an amen on that. We have to be sure. There's still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest. Now, this word is, as I've taught you many times, sabbatismos. You want to say it? And it literally means perpetual, continual rest. Reserved for who? Now, if ever there was a time in our busy world, it's a time for us to be inside at rest. You can be busy, but when you're rested, you work smart.
Amen.
This is not inactivity. This is activity that comes out of rest rather than stress.
Yep. Amen?
Amen. It does not come out of conflict or whatever, or we can do it and our self-effort and our big ambitions or anything else. It comes out of finding God does it, and we almost become spectators to it. I remember God, when he first asked us to plant this church, you know, and now we've got a number of branches. And when he first said that to me, he said, then as I walked up there the first time coming, the second time coming, and he said, you're in, no, he woke me during the night and he said, to tell Diane, he said, we're in for the ride of our life.
Amen.
Now, what is God saying that to me for if it's all up to me? It's not. We're in for the ride of our life, he said. I'm not making this up, guys. This is true. We're in for the ride. And he said, you can call that packed to the rafters. When I said, what should we call this place? He said, packed to the rafters. So I got the grace to be healed. I waited 5 years. Get my thinking. I'm hanging around here with you blokes for 5 years. I'm not going to roar off on my own arrogance and pride and self-effort.
Yes.
But I know very soon we shall see thousands of people in this city starting to turn to the grace message to Jesus, because people do not want to live under stress. Stress has great defects in our mortal bodies. It produces incredible deviations. It produces incredible pain and psychological damage. Ask the farmers who lose their sons. In Australia, we have the highest youth suicide rate, higher than Singapore and Hong Kong. In Singapore, when I lived there, I saw many I had to help. I used to get calls in the 80s when there was a depression in the market, you know, recession, and in the early 80s. And Buddhist people would ring me Buddhist businessmen, or that, you know, they're businessmen, but they were Buddhists, not Christians. And they would say, Pastor Campbell, please go to my house in the morning because I'll be gone tonight. I didn't even know these people. And every night there would be 14 or 15 Singaporeans during that recession. It never even got into the newspapers because they didn't want to publish it. But many wealthy people in Singapore jumped off high-rise buildings because of loss of face, because they didn't want their disgrace or whatever, you know. That was the only way out. The stress. I remember we had 7 homes in West Coast Road, okay, Jacqueline. We had, I hope I'm not offending you. We had 7 because this happens all around in the financial world. When the finances go bung, man, there is mass suicides across this planet. And I remember the man came and begged me to take it for $1. This huge mansion he had built. So I said, I can pay you more than that $1. He said, no, please take it for $1. He said, I can't stand it anymore. And I reached out. We were at the hawker center, just a Malay hawker center. And we're eating, you know, roti prata or something, I don't know. And I put my arm around this big Chinese man. I said, let me pray for you. And he just cried and cried. I'm telling you, he boasted of his money for years before I got that property. But then he came and said, take it for $1 during the recession. I love Singapore. I want to get that right out to you. I love this world. How many people like living in this world?
Yes.
We are not of it.
Yes.
We live in it.
Yes.
And we reign in it.
Yes.
And we reign through rest.
Yes.
Give the Lord a hand, please. That's all I wanted to say. Yeah. So I think I've got one more verse maybe. One more verse. Let us therefore make every effort. Now, this is very badly translated. So I don't want you to think it means this. But because they don't translate out of a vacuum, they have translated this verse, the professors, because they didn't have the revelation of rest. And it says, make every effort to enter that rest of God to know and experience it for ourselves. Now see where it says make every effort? All right? Well, you see, the word actually is this word. Now, see, there's key words to getting grace revelation. That's why we teach Greek, a little bit of Greek in the church, right? Spoudazo is actually the word, spoudazo. Everyone say that word? And it literally is pronounced spoudazo. And it means to run, to hasten, get in. And from time to time, I've taught that, and I thought, no, I'm going to wait. And we're going to come to the end of this 5 years. We've been in here 4.5 years and a year in our house. And, you know, I'm going to come to the end of this year, and we're going to talk about restoration next year. But this is abundance. The more we rest, the more abundant is God's grace.
Amen.
Oh, can I hear a loud amen, please? Amen. This is really, really important. Those who believe in this salvation, you just understand your believing is not just, you know, oh, right, I rest. Because you might not know what rest means. Rest simply means that you actually put a simple childlike trust in the Lord for your business. There's Eric and Marie, for your business. Put a simple trust as you go teaching now, sis. You're teaching, you're 2 days a week now. Or put a simple trust, Geraldine, in your ability to go through pastoral ministry school and do well like you are doing. Simple trust. No need to be worried and, you know, and anxious and crying at home and saying, Percy's a persecutor. If God is calling you to rest, let us therefore, now the effort is run. It just means, literally means to hasten into the rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves. Can I hear an amen?
Yeah.
So that no one, everyone say no one, no one will fall by following the same example of disobedience as those who died in the wilderness. They didn't believe. Hasten, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for these key truths We know that by grace you're saved. We got that. I got that when I was 11. But you show me now, Lord, there's a farm gate that needs to be open. And that gate, when we're born again, opens us into amazing grace. And there's much to be learned. And for people here, Lord, that think they know about grace, just because by grace they're saved, that's important. But they need to understand that the grace message is much wider and more, much more beautiful than just that one verse. And there's so much truth there, Lord, for us to lay hold of to reign with you in this world. So, Lord, I just ask you right now, as we have just bowed in prayer, just would you just lay your request before the Lord. And then jump on the rest train that's passing you by. Quickly now. It says, hasten into rest. God has this perpetual rest available for you. And that's your simple obedience, is to just simply say, Lord, in this situation where I've had no answer, I totally rest in you. I totally run into rest. I know you can. And I thank you for it. Just like a child trusts mum and dad. Trust your daddy now. He's going to bring in the income. He's going to bring into health. He's going to bring you into wealth. He's going to bring you into abundance. He's going to cause your wife to have many children. I don't know, if you want. He's going to cause your tomatoes to blossom and go, right? He's going to cause that hip replacement to really work and no arthritis in your body. I personally have been healed of arthritis the last 5 years. God is wanting to bring you to this place of absolute surrender and rest. He'll bless your marriage so much if you rest. You'll be a better husband by far. You won't be frustrated. You won't be nitpicky, domineering, critical. You won't feel rejected. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Come on, that's where I started. Today is the day of salvation. Put your hand up. Today is the day of salvation. For your marriage, for your health, for your wealth, for your bank account, for your relationships, for that car that you need. You know, a lot of people listening to this, they say, this is just prosperity rubbish. Well, I feel very sorry for them, because God wants to be involved in all areas of our life. He will be God. And we will rest in his ability to get the job done. So, Father, we thank you for what you've taught us over 5 years, 5.5 years. Thank you, you've added many people. I want to pray for Catherine over in Turkey today, Lord. Bless dear Catherine. In a troubled country, bless her and help her. Bring peace to Syria, Lord. Help this new thing to work. We want to pray for Malcolm Turnbull. Help him to get some things done. Seems to be a bit slow off the mark. Help him, Lord. We're not taking political sides in this church. We just want to see our land blessed. Father, we pray for this grace, Lord. Lord, I speak right now. I speak as you told we can bless. I bless this country with a great awareness of what the grace message is all about. I speak a hunger in their hearts to turn from self-effort and to hasten into the rest, because in that rest, they will be blessed. And we want our people in Australia to be blessed. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Look what the Lord has done for me. So we pray for an avalanche of grace. As we close this 5-year period, Lord, as we come to the end of this year, we close it, Lord, and we look the next 5 years, there will be just like an incredible tsunami of rest, and rest finds grace. And a tsunami of grace will hit the families and blessings and wealth and health and love and relationships. And we'll go from strength to strength in Zion. We love you, Jesus. Jesus, we're thankful that you are our brother and you are our Savior. And we are joint heirs with you in life. And the inheritance is ours now. So we bless you, and everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a hand for his word to us today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you. Yeah. God love you and bless you. Good. It's good to share this. It's sort of all over the spot today, but I don't mind. I don't care. No reputation. Don't need to worry. If you would like specific